Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Just got a studio visit from Locked On Ryan Corporate Cleary, one of Grant and Danny's 15 producers. I was busting his chops. Max, did you hear what happened around here yesterday?
Oh, God, no. Fill me in.
So JP and B. Mitch, they often bring in lunch.
Yes.
First primarily for them and their crew. Fine. Whatever. They have a friend, Amit, who brings in lunch for a lot of people, whatever.
Shout out.
Always extras. Shout out. Thank you. Being a guy of extra carriage, I try and avoid it because, mm-hmm. A, it's not good for me. B, people make fun of the fat guy going for food, right?
Of course. B. Mitch has said many a time after I've been chowing down on a rib or two.
Yeah. So what happened yesterday was they had, I don't know, the local pizza shop or whatever is like somewhere around here. They had two enormous boxes of pizza that were brought out of the control room and placed like right across from the control room door, clearly signifying like, hey, it's for everybody.
Come get it. Yeah.
Well, I could see through my window that people were like starting to take pizza.
Lining up.
Ryan Locked On Corporate Cleary goes over and takes a huge helping of pizza. I thought it was three slices. He says it was two slices. That's neither here nor there.
Could have been four.
Right. Could have been more, whatever. Fine. You do whatever. You do you. I go out there with nobody else going in between that time.
Mm-hmm.
At the next break, looking to get a slice of pizza.
Of course.
Or a wing. Those were there, too. I go over there. This is like 7 or 8 minutes later. I go to open up the pizza box. There's nothing in them. Neither box has anything left in them, but they're still there where everybody was eating and taking from. And the wing box is gone too.
That's
and there's
egregious.
Just a box of like fries, which is fine, right?
Sure.
I mean, very nice of Amit to bring it in and all that. My point being is, if you're going to take the last of the communal food, should you not
throw the box away?
Hello?
Common courtesy.
Right? Like at your office, at your home, wherever it might be, right? We all face this. That's why I bring this up. Not to talk about that we get free food or whatever.
Not to gloat.
At any office, at any home, at any communal location, if you take the last of something, you know what you do?
You clean it up.
It's the appropriate thing to do.
Some of us were raised right.
But these maniacs around here, they're vultures. They just take and take and take. The reason why I'm sometimes late to come back from the show is because I got to go take care of the ice machine that Miss Ivy was nice enough to buy us and the Keurig machine, which Miss Ivy was nice enough to buy us, because nobody fills up the water so that people can continuously have Keurig coffee and ice pellets. I got to do it.
Bunch of animals.
A bunch of animalistic vultures.
It's disgusting, really.
Now, I know that would not be you, Max.
No, no, never. You'd never catch me doing that.
Very disappointing. Anyway, has nothing to do with the Commanders, which I'm sure you'd probably rather me talk about. So here's the deal. ESPN put together this dream, bold, daring moves column, whatever, team by team. Aaron Schatz is the guy who did it. He's contributed to ESPN for a long time. He was the founder and father of Football Outsiders with the DVOA, all that stuff. I think he's mad at me because I've crushed DVOA. Not crushed DVOA. I've just dismissed it as being the end-all, be-all, right?
Yeah.
It tells you some set of data, but our guys around here during the year would use it as, like, the only analysis that they would get. Oh, they were 27th in DVOA, so they must suck. Actually, you know, like it turned out to be, that they weren't very good. But at times, and you don't win 12 games or therefore 14 games purely by offense. You don't do it, sorry. But anyway, neither here nor there. I think Chats is mad at me. I think he unfollowed me. Whatever. It's okay. I'm not hurt. I'm not offended. I just noticed it. So he wrote this piece, and the bold, daring move for the Commanders is? Give me a shot. What do you think? Like one bold, what you would consider bold or daring is probably different than what others would. But I mean, it's what you would consider to be bold and daring. Is there one move that you would consider bold and daring?
Moving on from one of the defensive linemen that we're paying way too much money.
No, but that's obviously not a bad thing. I don't know how bold and daring that is to us. In the local DMV,
yes.
I think that's going to be considered a bigger deal nationally.
For sure.
If they move on, likely from Jonathan Allen, because they can't really move on from Daron Payne.
No.
We'll discuss that in just a little while. This bold, daring move was Cooper Kupp, trading for Cooper Kupp, which I don't consider a bold and daring move.
I don't either.
Is it a...
It's a move.
Aggressive move? A semi-aggressive move? Yeah. Like, if you look at the Los Angeles Rams down the stretch, they went a five-game period where they really struggled on offense.
Yeah.
And Cooper Kupp was invisible. He was not able to be found, and he was playing, as opposed to being injured all the time, which he's also that. So I worry about Cooper Kupp and whether he's got that sizzle, that pop. But I watched enough tape to know that at times he still has it, and at times you could use him inside, outside. He can still run routes with the best of them, right? I just don't know if he's like... The best way I could put it is if you have a juicy T-bone steak or if you have ground turkey. Turkey? The point being is... It's not the same, right? There's different, same position, different talent, whatever. But the reason why I'm bringing this up, and there's, you know, more to Chats's opinion here, right? Saying, you know, Kupp would be an inside presence from the slot because of Terry being outside, but Kupp can work outside, Terry can work inside. He says he had a subpar season in 2024. Yes. He hasn't played more than 12 games in each of the past 3 years due to injuries. His catch rate has been down as well as compared to when he won the receiving triple crown in 2021. He has consistently dropped in ESPN's receiving metrics based on player tracking from a 61 rating in 2022 to 48 in 2023 and all the way down to 23 in 2024. What this tells me, right, which is what I pretty much knew, because we talked about this during the regular season. Again, the Rams went about five games. I think it was five games. And only in one of those games were they, like, really good on offense. What this tells me is Cooper Kupp should, A, not be expensive, and the Rams are going to likely have to cut him if nobody trades for him. But he shouldn't be very expensive at all. Fifth, sixth round pick, conditional, somewhere in that range. Also, that you shouldn't think just because you bring in Cooper Kupp that you've got it made now. We're good here. Don't see any. No. Actually, you do. You still have major issues, right? Or major problems. Because Cooper Kupp is a diminishing player. He's also hurt a lot, right? And the notion that you can bank on him being a solid contributor, a good contributor, for 17 regular season games and whatever postseason is hard to fathom. Now, I will tell you this. Last year, I basically preached the same message about Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz, while he drove some of you nuts, catch and fall player, what have you, lack of separation, played in all 20 games. And was arguably their second best weapon. Right? So maybe Cooper Kupp has a career renaissance. Don't know. That's, you know, system, structure, his health, Adam Peters' evaluation, how he works with Terry, you know, as opposed to Puka Nacua, as how he works with Cliff Kingsbury's offense, all of that. I still wouldn't consider a trade for Cooper Kupp unless you're trading a second-round pick for him, which I can't imagine they would, or even a high third-round pick, right, because they had that. I can't imagine that being a bold, daring move. I would not call that a bold, daring move. But here's what's interesting, right? If you combine this column, and again, they work for the same company, but they're two different people, with what Jeremy Fowler said yesterday on ESPN, and we're going to let you hear it, maybe it becomes, maybe not bold and daring, but it becomes even more realistic. I want you to hear what Jeremy Fowler had to say, and then we'll respond and react. Because when I heard this, I said, oh, okay, they must have been listening to the Rooster Mania, because this is exactly how I feel.
Wide receiver, this is the question that all Commanders fans want to answer. Who's going to be our number two wide receiver opposite Terry McLaurin? I don't necessarily sense that Washington's going to spend or splurge here big time, but they will address it, certainly. And there are a lot of players out there that fit. We talked about Cooper Kupp earlier via trade. That could be an option. Christian Kirk in Jacksonville, if he's a cap casualty, he went way back with Cliff Kingsbury from their Arizona days. They did well together, so that could be an option as well.
Well, if they do want to splash around a little bit in that wide receiver market, they have the cap space. They have a ton of cap space in D.C.
They do indeed. They have a ton of free agents as well and a ton of needs. So when you hear Jeremy Fowler say that, he's not saying they will not. He's saying, I don't necessarily sense. Because what happens, just to peel back the curtain a little bit, I'm sure Jeremy Fowler, who did actually have, I mean, he broke a couple of stories. I don't remember exactly which ones they were. You know, more mild to moderate, not massive. You know, he didn't break the Marshawn Lattimore acquisition, I don't think, right? But he knows somebody. I don't know if that's Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know if that's Dan Quinn. I don't know if that's Adam Peters. I don't know. Okay. And he works for ESPN, which automatically gets you in the door, right? It doesn't automatically get you the information that you're asking for, but it automatically gets you in the door. So Jeremy Fowler is saying, I don't necessarily sense. Well, he's not just making that up out of the clear blue sky. He didn't like walk out his front door and go to a tree in his front yard and pull down the Commander's, envelope. And it said, well, we're not going to spend money, big time money, on T. Higgins. But what he's telling you is based on people that he's talked to, without saying that, the sense that he gets, the feeling that he has, the gut walk away, take away, whatever, is that they're not going to spend big at wide receiver. Now, they did add at the end there, as you probably heard, they've got the money to do whatever they want. Yes, they do. But as we have told you from minute one, A, they wouldn't spend money, big time money, significant money, one. Two, and that would rule out T. Higgins. I truly believe that long before I didn't think he was getting a second tag. I believe it now. I believe it then, what have you. But also, it may preclude them, depending on the market, from bringing back Diami Brown. Okay? So, again, many of us have circled the wagon around, hey, yeah, Deebo Samuel's available, Cooper Kupp's available. Or, as Fowler mentioned, and again, as John Kime mentioned earlier this week, and Kime was the first one I heard mention it, but again, they work for ESPN together. They probably trade some information. Christian Kirk, who played for Kingsbury, who we've talked about the last couple of days, who may be a cap casualty in Jacksonville. So the reason why we're tying these two together is because, well, duh, if Fowler's intuition, which is probably based on somebody saying, yeah, we're probably not going to break the bank for a wide receiver. I would guess, you know, I would guess we're not, whatever, going after T. Higgins. And again, you have to be really careful about this stuff, right? Because agents and teams and whatever could you be using you as a pawn piece.
Because that's a big thing we've learned about Adam Peters, especially over the last year, is that he keeps his cards very close to the vest.
He does, but that doesn't mean Cliff Kingsbury or Dan Quinn does exactly the same.
That's true.
You know, and I'm not saying the information is coming from those two guys, but it could be.
Yeah.
Okay? And just because Adam Peters is one way doesn't mean Dan Quinn is another way.
For sure.
Okay? And it could be, he could be just using gut feel sense, but in all likelihood, somebody whispered to him, hey, man, we're probably not going to be in the T. Higgins business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like reporters do that in advance of the combine, in advance of free agency. They call a bunch of people that they know or text a bunch of people that they know and say, hey, would you guys be interested in T? I'm trying to get a feel for the wide receiver market, what it might cost, who might be, you know, number one. Well, I think we all know who's number one, T. Higgins, if he's free. Now, if he's not free, that's a whole different ball of wax. That's been reported, not official. But this is how it happens. Now, information can change, decisions can change, whatever. Maybe I believe this more because it's exactly what I've been preaching on this show and what I've been saying all along. So, of course, ideologically, that matches up to what I think. So I'm not upset. Are you upset, Max, if it's true that the Commanders have all of this cap money and it looks like they're not going to be big spenders?
Well, see, that's the thing about this cap money, and they were talking about on Beamish and Finley as I was driving in. You have 29, I think, unrestricted free agents coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that cuts the cap spending that you have probably in half if you're going to bring back, like, say, maybe 10, 15
like
of those guys.
Like a healthy handful of them.
Yeah.
Or maybe more than a handful.
So the space, we're not going to have as much space as I feel like a lot of people think that we're going to. So I don't think we're going to be crazy spenders. So, no, it's not going to disappoint me or sway me in the slightest
Just to give you an example, right? The NFL salary cap is getting a bump from between 22 to 26 million.
Yes.
It's not decided yet where the number exactly is going to be, but overthecap.com basically split the difference between the two and is listing a base salary cap of 279.5. Even with that adjustment, even with that bump of at least 22, and in this particular case, 24 on over the cap, and it might be even more, 26, the Commanders are listed at having only $82.2 million, which is still third most, but everybody was running around, and this is what I tell everybody all the time. People go gaga over the in-season numbers on Over the Cap, and SpotTrack, I'm not saying that they're bad resources and whatever. A lot of things change contractually, and a lot of information comes, incentives, all that stuff comes out of the wash, and it's always way lower than the initial reported numbers during the season. And I started tracking it. In mid-December, it was like listed as almost 100 million. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of December, like towards the end of the regular season, it was 90 million. And then a week later into the playoffs, it was like 80 million. And I was like, ah, here we go again every year. And everybody yells at me and everybody gets mad at me. Now, they still do have the third highest reported salary cap room. They still have $82 million reported. That's not the official number. It's still enough money to get stuff done. But think about this. The cap went up $22 million. And they're still being only listed at having $82 million worth of space. So if these numbers are even close to accurate, they were down to $60 million worth of space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Number one. Number two, and I'll just say this, then we'll take a timeout, then we'll get back to the calls, I promise. And we can mix it up between the Four Nations faceoff and the Commanders and what we're talking about with the wide receiver. Your point, 29 free agents. If you bring back 14 of them, almost dead middle, right? Yeah. Slightly less than dead middle. Yeah, you're probably, I mean, depending on who we're talking about and depending on how they do the first-year structure, and some of them are going to be one-year deals where you get hit with all of that money in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably, if it's even close to being accurate that they have $82 million now, if it's even close to being accurate, again, you bring back 14 free agents, which is less than half of your group, you're probably going to have 35, 40 million? Maybe in space.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're just guessing because we have no idea
exactly
what the contract structure is in first year or whatever. But just, again, use that. So all of a sudden, well, you still have room. You still have a better situation than the New Orleans Saints or the Dallas Cowboys. But you don't have the room that you think you have.
Mm.
And then if you go out and spend garishly on T. Higgins, sure, that first-year cap number is going to be lower, but it ain't going to be like peanuts. Otherwise, you're going to be holding the bag on a $50 million cap number next year. You've got to put some money into the first year of the deal. You can't just, like, you're doing it wrong if just, well in 2025, we're going to sign T. Higgins to a $30-plus million average annual value deal, but the cap number in year one is only going to be $1 million. You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. So the point being is they have money to operate, but they don't have money to be reckless, to be over egregious and over aggressive in the free agent market, not only at the wide receiver spot, but everywhere. Because they have so many holes, because they have so many needs, because they have so many pending free agents. All right, I know I'm way late, got to take a timeout. We'll come back, we'll get Marcus Brandywine, AA, and you, 301-230-0980. What do you make out of the wide receiver group specifically? And is Cooper Kupp a bold move or somebody else a bold move? Are you, at this point, kind of like said, okay, T. Higgins likely going to get the franchise tag, and he's really expensive, and there doesn't seem like they're going to spend that kind of money. I got to kind of lower my expectations from T. Higgins. Where are you at on this Friday as we head into the weekend, February the 21st, 2025, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You want to get the most for your money? Well, that's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $199 a month, or buy and get 0.9 APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN number SM809245. MSRP 26940. Ends 2/28/25.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is how flying should be. That's what a Breeze guest recently said about Breeze Airways. Breeze flies nonstop to Sarasota, Bradenton, and more straight from Long Island MacArthur Airport. Breeze not only makes travel easy and affordable, but they offer flexible and friendly change policies, have high-speed Wi-Fi, and a premium first-class seat called Breeze Ascent. It's time you choose to fly Breeze. What are you waiting for? Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Breeze Airways, seriously nice, in partnership with Visit Bradenton.
Gangsta love. Yeah, double shot of Steve Miller Band on this feel-good Friday. Heading towards the weekend, baby. Not a long weekend. Next weekend will be a longer weekend for me. I got to go up to Canton, Ohio to visit my offspring, my young adults. Have some bad food to eat. I mean, good bad food to eat.
Some Skyline?
No, that's not. That's more Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they have Skyline. It's just
there.
You know, like everywhere they'll want to go, and everywhere that I'll want to go, it just like you're not eating like a healthy salad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not happening. Coming up, I don't let me forget. I've got that story for you that I heard on Coach Sheehan's show, and D-Day's news. And that my buddy's Fred and Bertie sent me as well. Plus, we got to get into the Yankees.
Huh? Yes.
The Yankees.
The Yankees.
No, not on the baseball field. I mean, yes, they extended Aaron Boone. Some people have an issue with that.
I'm very excited.
I'm excited as well. But they made a controversial decision today, which we need to tackle. All right, but we're kind of talking about the wide receiver. We opened up the show with the Four Nations face-off and where hockey goes from here. Let's go to Marcus and Brandywine before the bottom of the hour here, because I'm already late, but I wanted to get Marcus in. Marcus, how are you, pal?
Doing well. How are you, Rooster?
Doing good, man. What's shaking?
Listen, that's why I like you, man. You, this is two juicy topics, and now I'm trying to figure out which one to talk about.
Give me a quick shot on both.
All right, so Four Nations, right?
Yeah.
I'll compare this to baseball. Back when the Nationals made that run in 2018? I believe, I can't remember the exact
2019
year.
Is when they won the World Series, so yeah.
Won the World Series, right.
I mean, obviously the run was preceding that, but 2019 is when they capped it off.
All good. So my mom is somewhat of a sports fan, not a huge sports fan, but definitely not a baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
And during that run in the World Series and in the playoffs, you know, my mom was glued in, calling me every game, asking me what this means, what that means. And from there, she's become a really big baseball fan. Fast forward the year later, same thing happened with the Capitals. In the playoffs, she's glued in. And now she's a casual hockey fan. Well, I would say a casual Capitals fan.
Mm-hmm.
I say that to say, with this Four Nations, if you get anybody from anywhere that tuned in to at least the championship game, mm-hmm. now you got the juices flowing. Now they want to see more, and they may not watch hockey in general, but, you know, they have a home team. So they'll probably tune into these games, which will in turn boost ratings. So I think the Four Nations, at least that last game or the first game against Canada, that gives you – kind of that interest starts to peak, and now you kind of want to see what it's really, really about. So I think, you know, watching that or people that watch that, I do believe that will affect their decision to view hockey. Well, not not the NHL, but maybe view their team a little bit more, mm-hmm. and then maybe kind of migrate to viewing the NHL a little bit more.
I hope so, and that's probably the most logical thing that happens. I mean, I, of course, would like a bigger jump and a bigger increase, you know, that's just me being a diehard hockey fan.
Yeah, no, I feel it. I'm with you. I'm in the same boat with you. So then on this T. Higgins situation, this receiver, I mean, this is an unpopular take, but since the offseason, I was never really a fan of spending big money for a true two receiver. And here's why. You know, granted, things change year by year, but we just made it to the NFC Championship game without a true number two, and you can't pay me any amount of money to believe that if we had a true number two, we would make it to the Super Bowl, because the offense really wasn't an issue. So I don't like the notion of having to spend big to get a true two to do more, if that makes sense. I believe that there's other areas that we need to touch on or other areas that we need to address and maybe use money there, aside from trying to go out and sign this blockbuster wide receiver two, because that's what it really feels like. I can understand if we didn't have any receiver and the hype is about getting a true, you know, wide receiver one, but we have a wide receiver one, and right. and with the quarterback we have, you know, we made it work. So I don't think the true two is going to make much of a difference or give us that much more of a jump between this year and next year. I really think that those funds should go to you know, elsewhere.
The thing, and it's a very smart call, Marcus, as always. The thing that they need is an upgrade. They don't need a true 1A or a true 2.
Right.
They need an upgrade.
No, for sure.
And a combination of some of the guys from last year, probably Olamide Zaccheaus, probably maybe Noah Brown, coming back. Maybe Diami goes to greener pastures, and you know, that's fun and whatever, but
you know, make no mistake about it, we do need an upgrade. I just don't think it needs to be, you know, we don't need to break the bank for
an
upgrade.
It,
you know,
does not need to be a big splash
coming up.
Correct.
No, absolutely not. And I like T. Higgins. If we got him, you know, fine, but if we, you know, we didn't, we're not getting him, I'm a little bit more happy. We got a little bit more money to spend. You know, we still got draft capital. We have options, and those options shouldn't include spending big to upgrade wide receiver two.
No, I got you. Great call, as always. Appreciate you. We'll get to Double A on the other side. First, a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us on a Friday afternoon. We head towards 4 o'clock. Did you know, did I tell you this maybe last week? I saw Steely Dan in concert.
No, you haven't.
Last March at the United Center in Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
When they opened for the Eagles, which was the reason why I was there.
Yes, you did tell me it was an Eagles concert. You did not tell me that Steely Dan opened.
Steely Dan.
Fan.
I knew this song and maybe one other.
That's precisely two.
And that was it.
Reeling in the Ears and Dirty Work. That's it.
That was it, baby. I mean, I kept waiting for a song that I recognized, and it did not come. And then finally the Eagles hit the stage. And I know I'm really old, but the Eagles are my jam. And I mean,
they're good.
It's just what has been a big fabric of my life. Big part of the fabric, I should say. Of my life. So interesting that when I heard the song and I heard that. All right, before we get to Double A, I just wanted to bring this up, right? There is a lot of now speculation. Remember, you weren't here yesterday. AMAC did a great job yesterday, so I thank him. I appreciate him. Mad Max is with us today. He does a great job. Awesome as always. So yesterday was the first kind of time, other than a casual mention, started to get a little bit more into Marshawn Lattimore's situation.
Yeah.
And Ben Standing had wrote a piece about detailing, I don't know, several high-profile or higher-profile situations on the Commanders, what money they could save cap-wise, what money dead cap, what have you. And Marshawn Lattimore was listed, as he should be, right, because he's easy to cut from a financial perspective. He costs $18 million under the cap. None of it is guaranteed. There's no dead cap money, as we mentioned yesterday. There's a savings of $18 million flat out. Now, after the show yesterday, it started to seem like, like all of a sudden there's a bunch of smoke to this fire. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it came from Ben's article or from people started chirping or whatever.
Rappaport retweeted something.
Okay. So you mentioned that, right? And maybe I misheard you at first when you said, well, Rappaport tweeted out something or said something. And then I went back and I looked, right? And I was like, okay. I didn't miss anything significant.
No.
From this standpoint, it was not a Rappaport piece.
Correct.
It was... He retweeted the piece from
Matt Okada,
a fantasy guy, a
yes.
programmer of fantasy content.
Correct.
On NFL.com.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Okada, as you said.
Yes.
And it does indeed talk about not only Deebo Samuel, which we can get to, but Marshawn Lattimore, right? Four-time Pro Bowl corner. All came between 2017 and 2021. Since 2022, he's missed 25 games with a variety of injuries. Washington traded for him. Horrific 29.6 coverage from PFF and 10 catches on 172 yards, a 136.6 passer rating on 14 targets in the postseason. And, you know, again, his entire $18 million cap hit would be come savings for the Commanders, which obviously would give them even more flexibility. And listen, it's a pretty good draft, from what I can tell, for cornerbacks, but it's also not a bad free agent class. You know, there are certain free agent class or position groups that aren't great, quite honestly. Wide receiver being one of them, which is part of the reason why I kept saying the Commanders are not going to spend a lot of money at wide receiver. That being said, cornerback actually is a pretty decent position if you're looking for veteran help. Charvarius Ward, who was with Adam Peters in San Francisco, who just had an awful personal tragedy with his daughter. Hope that family is healing and whatever. He's 29 years old. Carlton Davis, 29 years old as well. Went from Tampa to Detroit. You know, pretty good corner. DJ Reed from the Jets. Top 10 on Pete Prisco's top 100 list. I think he was the top corner. You get the point. There are veterans to be had in free agency that played more or seem more dependable than Marshawn Lattimore at this point. The problem is, and I like, there are some people that look at whatever cost you paid is a sunk cost and you can't do anything about it. True, you can't. You can't reverse the trade. They traded a third, a fourth, and a sixth and got back a fifth for Marshawn Lattimore. I got it. It does not look good right now. But to me, while I can't get the trade back, what I can control is not giving up so quickly. And that's what I don't quite understand about all of this conjecture. Like, I see why people are hopping on this. Ooh, you can save $18 million. No dead cap. And just admit that it was a mistake. Yeah, man, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. A, to admit that it's a mistake so quickly. B, you don't get those draft picks back. You don't. And you still need not only one corner, but now you need two corners. Because guess what? Noah Igbinoghene is a free agent. Obviously, Benjamin St. Juste and Michael Davis are not. I don't think St. Juste is coming back. I can't say definitively, but I don't think he's come back. But they're free agents as well. But Igbinoghene is a free agent. The only one you'd have really of any substance under contract is Mikey Sanders still. If you let Marshawn, like the reason why they made the trade for Marshawn Lattimore, guys, was not only the stretch run, which, okay, it didn't work out. They tried. But also for the next 2 years, and so that you didn't have to swing a big stick in free agency, or you had to swing a smaller stick or a lesser stick. You weren't desperate. You could work on the rest of your roster while also adding depth and talent and competition, and maybe still signing a Charvarius Ward, but not having to go, oh my God, we've got to do this because we have nobody. I don't get this. I really don't. I honest to God, I don't. I mean, I get it in that it's an easy divorce. But man, let me tell you something. It is a bad look if they move on from Marshawn Lattimore this offseason. It is a bad, bad look.
Yeah.
And it's a bad trade. And it causes way more problems than even on the surface. And I'll give you an example of that next. Hang tight, Double A. I'm coming at you. I know you got stuff going on. Sorry, I had set this up and I had to keep the line moving in terms of what we wanted to cover and what we wanted to talk about. So I'll give you that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we are heading down the home stretch to hour number three on this Friday. Let's get to our guy, Double A, Athens in Annapolis, as I just see Linus run through my vision in the other studio here. A perfect time to say hello to his arch nemesis, Athens in Annapolis. What's up, Double A? How are you?
Well, I'm good, but I think the first thing we need to discuss is this pizza issue.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because, listen, there is no way that somebody would just leave those boxes there. They left them to bait you and Max, and somebody who would do that has the DNA or is a part of the offspring of a Whiningham, okay? So I think there needs to be an investigation. CK might need to look deeper into this because that's a big deal. You know, when you're hungry and you're down there and you get ready for your show and you're doing your thing and all that planning, and then you just get set up and there's nothing.
I
got an issue with that.
I agree.
So, yeah, major issue there.
And when all else fails, blame Linnell Willingham.
Of course, because by default, he's wrong because, I mean, he breathes and he's wrong. But anyways,
second thing,
shout out to Dr. Sabat real quick for Omari and Hampton. I hope we get him. And the third thing, I think these receivers you're talking about, Cup and Debo and all that, I don't see any like draft pick trades for guys like this. I think Cup is on the downward trajectory of his career, even though he's still serviceable, and Debo's still young, but he's taking a lot of hits. He's got some miles on him. I see these guys being, if anything, traded for at the most a fourth or rounder in Debo, but maybe they got salary cap issues, so he's probably a post June 1 cut. They're going to trade Cooper Kupp. What are they going to get for him? A seventh round pick at best. So okay, maybe we give up one of our 3 7th round picks, and you have a serviceable 2 or 3. But I think people are going to be very surprised. Is my point on a lot of these players that are going to get cut? You're not going to see a lot of draft capital given up for them. And the final thing is, you mentioned the salary cap. Everyone knows the salary cap is going to go up each year. That's why they keep kicking the can down the road. So you said like the Skins were going to have like $60 million, but now they have 83 because it went up like $25 million or whatever it was. And they're all kicking the can down the road because of what these quarterbacks are getting paid and the wide receiver market getting reset. And somebody will probably reset the linebacker market sooner than later. So that's all that is. But it all else fails. Max, blame Linnell and play some different music when you produce for him.
Oh, for Linnell? Oh, instead of that same tired theme song every freaking break?
Yeah, the ukulele.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ukulele that plays every time back from break. I mean, listen, reach out to Matt Essig, the legend. Okay, I was his assistant for many months, okay? Gave him lots of sound bites. Max got good rhythm and vibe for good music. Reach out to him, but get rid of that song. Play it one time on the intro and get some better music because it sucks.
I got some good sound bites coming that I've given to Max. He's just just needs a little time to upload it and get it all in. But you're right. I mean, that theme song is just annoying. I mean, how many times?
Hey Chris, how many times can we play it? Chris, if I need to make an appearance at the station to give Max a little nudge, let me know. I got things on cruise control here at work, so I can make an appearance. So just let me know.
Attaboy. Drop the people's elbow down on Linus. No doubt about it. Thank you, Double A. Appreciate you. 258, Team 980 on a Friday. Final hour to come. Straight ahead. Yeah. The people's elbow is coming to New Orleans tonight, baby. 1 week ago, WWE SmackDown was here in Washington. This couldn't happen here? Well, there's kind of a reason. We'll explain what we mean by that and much, much more in the 3 o'clock hour on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.